Have you made the Lord your refuge? Is He a safe retreat for you?
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about some of the letters that you've been writing. I'm calling this week's topic Conversations with You. I wish it could be a little bit more two-way, but I am so grateful for all the letters that I've had. So many of you encourage me and remind me that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it's just wonderful to receive answers to prayer, the kind of thing that we ask the Lord to do, the Lord is doing in some of your lives, and we're very grateful. So I have a letter here from a lady who tells me that the devotional that I gave one morning, she calls it a devotional, my little talk, was God's perfect timing, she said. I started listening to your program several months ago when you were discussing the Lord's Prayer just at a time when I was making a personal study of it. I could tell of many instances of the Lord's timing, but will speak of just one. My husband also was a victim of cancer. The night before he was to have an operation to remove part of his lung, as I returned to our empty, silent house, I turned on the radio. Almost the first notes of music I heard were Sibelius's Finlandia, and the words of the hymn came to my mind, "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain." I'm sure you know the words, she says. The first two stanzas especially spoke directly to me. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. And thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious will be bright at last. Although that operation was called successful, 6 months later we faced the realization that my husband had a brain tumor, and X-ray therapy was not effective. But I was always conscious that God was with us, strengthening and sustaining me, providing needed help at crisis moments. Although our prayers for healing were not granted, my husband had no pain, and I was able to care for him at home, blessings for which I was truly grateful. You also mentioned the 90th Psalm this morning, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place." That was my father's favorite, read on every birthday and anniversary. And the hymn, "The Lord hath helped me hitherto with His surpassing favor. His mercies every morn are new. His kindness doth not waver." That also frequently came to my mind with its comforting assurance. May He continue to bless your ministry. That's from Gladys Winkie in Rochester, New York. Thank you so much, Gladys, for that. And I'm so glad that you're one of those people who uses hymns. I do want to encourage all my listeners to get their hands on an old hymn book somehow. Don't steal one from your church, but maybe you can find one that they'll be willing to part with in the basement. And use those hymns in your devotional life. Use them as prayers. Use them as encouragement, as Gladys Winkie has found. Many letters came from you thanking me for reading Psalm 27. And since Gladys mentioned Psalm 90, I'd like to read the first part of that psalm, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, Thou hast been our refuge from generation to generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or earth and world were born in travail, from age to age everlasting, Thou art God." And then In the 91st Psalm, another favorite of many of us, I'm sure, this is what we read. You that live in the shelter of the Most High and lodge under the shadow of the Almighty, who say, the Lord is my safe retreat, my God, the fastness in which I trust. He himself will snatch you away from fowler's snare or raging tempest. He will cover you with his pinions, and you shall find safety beneath his wings. You shall not fear the hunter's trap by night or the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the plague raging at noonday. Verse 9, for you, the Lord is a safe retreat. You have made the Most High your refuge. Let me stop right there and ask, have you made the Lord your refuge? Is he a safe retreat for you? He wants to be, and he can be, but he's not going to barge into your life. He's asking you to come to him. The Lord is our dwelling place. Remember when I talked some time ago about living in company with Christ? It's a concept referred to throughout Scripture. Enoch, we read, walked with God. Abraham walked with God. In John 15, Jesus speaks about dwelling, abiding, making your home in him. And Matthew 11:28, the opening verse that I used for a number of weeks, come to me, all you who labor or who are tired and overburdened, and I will give you rest. These verses wonderfully speak of the union, the intimate union which God wants with us. Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16, because his love is set on me, I will deliver him. I will lift him beyond danger, for he knows me by name. When he calls upon me, I will answer. I will be with him in time of trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. I will satisfy him with long life to enjoy the fullness of my salvation. He will be with you in time of trouble. And then I had this wonderful letter from Anita Baum. I'm not sure if she pronounces it Baum or Baum, B-A-U-M. Anita says, your writings put in me a burning, consuming fire to give Christ all that I am. Elizabeth, I long to be obsessed, possessed, and consumed with him. And she tells me what station she listens to in Baltimore, WRBS. And she says, I'm a 35-year-old black woman with 5 children. My husband had a massive stroke last September. You were a guest on Open Line at the time. I was on my way home from visiting him at the hospital when I tuned into the show. I got in the door just in the nick of time to phone in after the show had gone off the air. But the host asked if I would still like to speak with you. I said yes, and I shall never forget those few but precious minutes in conversation with you. You gave me the verses from John 15, 1 to 8, and that is the vine and branches passage in which Jesus speaks of living intimately with him. The doctors had given my husband 24 hours to live, and if he lived, they told me he would be a vegetable. Well, Elizabeth, he is the biggest walking, talking vegetable I have ever seen. He was in a coma for close to 2 months, and his cognitive skills are not what they used to be, but he's doing fine. The neurologist says he was lucky. We say, thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy. Bubba, my husband, the alcoholic, came to Christ through his massive stroke. He will never be able to work again doing the work he used to do. He was our sole support. I cannot put into words the intense, fervent, and intimate love I felt from him who loves us as no one else can love during our trial. It's kind of strange, but I treasure that particular time in my life, and God stretched me beyond my wildest imagination. I can say in all honesty, I know no greater joy or peace than during that trial. It truly was well with my soul. I cried, and I wept many tears. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Please pray for me, that I will truly die to self, that He might live and reign in me. Sometimes it seems as if my days are filled with kids, housework, and the usual. I'm not a missionary in Africa, what I sometimes dream of. I'm not the great orator speaking to large crowds about Jesus, another dream, and she draws a little smiley face. But I'm a mom who wipes up spilled milk, kisses away the pain from a scraped elbow, and referee of many a fight. I thank God for my five precious jewels He has given me. I'm honored that He would entrust their lives to me. They are His, yet He has given me the duty of raising them to know and love Him. I can't say enough about how much you mean to me and how much I love you. I look forward to the next 15 minutes again on Gateway to Joy. I love you in Christ, Anita Baum. Thanks so much, Anita, for that encouragement. There is a big network out there. I don't know how many people are listening. I don't know how they figure out figures like that anyway. But I do know that there are a good many of you just from the percentage of letters that I get. I figured out from my book experience that about one person out of 1,000 who reads a book actually writes a letter. I don't know how many people who listen to the radio write a letter, but thank you, all of you who have done so, and let's pray for each other.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.